Good morning. That was some great worship, wasn't it? That was great. It was God is so good. I was sitting right up in the front here, and I just noticed, I don't know if you can notice where you were sitting, how many little ones, how many kids came forward for prayer. Isn't that amazing? And so here's the thing. We model that for our kids. The church models that for our little ones. They're watching. And that was just a beautiful image of what the church can be, what a segue into our Vision Sunday today. If you're new here, my name is Ben Kendrew. I am the pastor here at Bridge City Brighton Heights. It is a joy to be with you all. Good to welcome some of our visitors that are here for the first time, to see some new faces that have returned. Great to have you with us. But I want to invite you to just pray with me right now one more time as we go and hear God's word. Heavenly Father, I just pray as your Holy Spirit is already here, Lord, I pray that you would fall fresh upon us, that you would open our hearts, you'd soften our hearts, you'd open our ears, and you'd give us the eyes to see what you've called us to individually and as a church. And so, Father, I pray that you'd be with us in these moments, Lord. You are so good, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So several years ago, there was a news story about two houses that were built side by side along the Gulf of Mexico, right around the Gulf Coast area. They look nearly identical. So if you walked by them, you looked at the houses, you're like, wow, those look, maybe they're Ryan homes. I don't know what the homes are. They could be something, but they looked identical. And the homes had the same builder, the same design, the same beautiful view of the water. But when a major storm had rolled through, the difference in these houses was truly revealed. The wind howled and beat against the houses, and the rain poured down and just kind of just flooded. Water surged all around them, and when it was over, house number one stood firm. The windows cracked, the shingles were ripped off, the siding was ripped off, but still it remained standing after the storm. But the other house number two, what happened to that? House number two was swept off its foundation. House number two was swept off its foundation. And when the news broke and when it was over, the house two, they sent investigators to look at the damage of what was there, adjusters, and they explained that there was a difference. House one had deep anchors or pilings driven into the sand, into the bedrock of the earth. And it was driven down so deep that whatever came against this, it was going to stand. And then the other house, though, had been built quickly and hastily and just kind of thrown together. And it was built so quickly that it didn't have that same deep base and anchors into the ground. And so it had a shallow base. And so from the street, you could not tell that difference. But when that storm came, you saw the difference. And the foundation preached the sermon in that neighborhood. The storms did not create the weakness. The storms revealed the weakness in the houses. And so what I want to see here is this, is that when we think about our lives and we think about what our lives are centered on and what they're built upon, Jesus is doing the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. As he uses this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as he's talking to his disciples and he's talking to the people that are there, he's saying how you live your life and how you build your foundation, it matters, because guess what? There will be storms that come, amen? There's going to be storms that come. The difference is how we're going to endure these storms. The only difference between stability and collapse is what the house is built on. I'm going to say that again. Only difference between stability and collapse is what the house is built on. And of course, Jesus is using this teaching to talk about how we live our lives as followers, or those that are just seeking to see what this Christian faith is all about. And so as Jesus is saying this, he's saying, what is your life built upon? What is your life anchored in? Who is your life built upon? What is it built upon being nice? Is it built upon your success or money or where you came from? Or is it truly built upon the anchor that is Jesus Christ? And so that's what we're thinking about. The difference there is that when stability and collapse, there's that fine line. And it really does. It matters where it's built upon. Is your life built upon Jesus Christ? And when I was preparing for today, and I was thinking about our campus here at Brighton Heights, here on the north side, and I wonder, like, just saying, God, like, what do you want for us? Where are you taking us? What's going through the kind of the culture and the times and where are you guiding us to? And I got this image of the house, and just, I'd moved 3 times since I've started here at Bridge City Church. And so the house is a very relevant image for me. But I want to encourage you to think about that image of the house. What is it built on? And we just came through Snowmageddon, and I'm so thankful for that. The snow's finally melting. Some of you are like, I wasn't going out in that snow, and I don't blame you. But here's the tension is that there are going to be storms. There are going to be things that happen in our lives that are going to cause us to really question and say, what is my life's direction? What are we about? And I wonder the same thing for our church. That if we endure storms and hardships and things happen, like where are we built upon? Are we built just on programs and certain individuals? And all those things are good in and of themselves. But ideally, we want to submit ourselves and align ourselves where the Holy Spirit is going and anchor our church into the bedrock that is Christ Jesus. And Aaron led us in that song, how the goodness of God and the joy of the Lord. And these are the things that we should be known for. So I don't want to think about the problem, but I want to think about the purposes that God has in his word. And I love that we sung about that today. But here's the encouragement I want to give to you today as we think about Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. There's a tension for us that as we think about our lives, that some of us don't have our lives really built on a foundation that's truly built on Christ. It's a form of Christianity. Maybe it's a religion. But true Christian faith is one of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an active and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's focused on his goodness. It's focused on what he did on the cross. And so that's what we want to be about here at this location. We want to be about a church that is walking in step with the Holy Spirit, but really, truly built on the foundation that is Christ. That is my hope. And so we don't want to just be about, just a great worship. We don't want to just be about programs, but we really truly want to be a people that are surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit and where God has taken us. Amen? And so if you think about that, the question is this, is that it's not whether the storms will hit our community. They will, right? There are different types of storms that we'll face. There's cultural storms, there's personal crisis or storms, there's leadership transitions, there are economic pressures that we face with our work how are we going to pay for food? I mean, prices continue to increase, and so we have these fears, we have these worries. But here's the thing, church, listen, when we're anchored in with Jesus Christ, all those things matter, but that we'll be able to endure those storms. Your life will be able to endure those storms. This church will be able to endure the storms, whatever comes our way. And so the question is, it's this, where will we build our church? Will we build our lives on the rock that is Jesus Christ? Amen? The scripture, if you have your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 7. This is, again, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the core of what Jesus was about. This is what his teachings were. He's on the side of the mountainside near overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching, and he's giving these beatitude blessings. He's talking about kind of ethical behaviors. He's teaching them how to pray, but then finally he gives them this kind of like driven home, kind of final example on how to live their lives, and this is what he says, starting in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell. And great was the fall of it, according to the ESV translation. And so we have two different houses. It symbolizes those that listen and put the words of Jesus into practice and those that do not. You know, and as I'm praying through this and I'm praying for our church, I'm thinking, I pray as the pastor here and I pray as leaders, like we want our church, we want our lives first to be built on Jesus Christ. And then we want our church to do the same thing. We want people encounter or come into this space and come into this place. Are they seeing that we're built in Jesus Christ? And I hope they're not seeing anything else but that. And so I just wonder sometimes, there is a tension for us. And so The action for Jesus is what you're going to do with this information. What do you do with God's word once you read it? What do you do about these songs we just sang? You know, seeing these little ones lead us and stepping out in courageous faith. What do we do with that? And so Jesus is saying, church, believer, brother, sister, this is what you're to do, is to lead this out. Lead lives that are in step and built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so we want to be the one who hears them and actually does them. We want to be the ones who hear the word of Christ. We hear that tugging on our heart by the Holy Spirit, but actually put it into practice. That's what we're called to be. And I just wonder sometimes when we have such kind of like these fears sometimes. I don't know if I want to step all in. I don't know. Something holds us back, doesn't it? And so my hope and prayer is that as we continue to move forward, that we're going to just step out in bold faith and bold courage, and we're going to build our lives, and our worship will be centered on Jesus Christ. Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. What kind of church are we becoming? What kind of disciples are we forming? What kind of worship are we singing out to God? What kind of generous culture are we being obedient for? What are we about? What does that look like? And so what are the foundations that we're laying right now? And today was a beautiful example of that. We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a people of worship. We want to be people that are generous, right? And so I see this is that the future storms that will come, we're going to endure because we are going to be built on the foundation that is Christ. That we're going to align ourselves and walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you as a church. If you're looking for a church, I want to invite you to join us here at the Brighton Heights campus. Last week, if you weren't here, we started our vision series with a kind of zoomed out version, partake at the life of Moses. And we said that the life of Moses in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, there were three 40-year periods of Moses' life. That first 40-year period, he was a prince of Egypt, he got the best education, and then he had that encounter and murdered that Egyptian taskmaster and then fled to the desert. Then he became what? A shepherd. And as he was a shepherd, he was tending the flock of his sheep. He got married, and he began to do things in the mundane and the ordinary and the familiar. And then that third set of 40 years, he leads God's people out of Egypt, and he leads them into the promised land and to a certain point, and God leads them further out into the promised land. And so what we looked at is this, is that when we looked at the life of Moses, there was that one moment, that burning bush moment, that burning bush encounter that Moses had with God. And I used the example of a smoke detector that had batteries that were going, and it had that chirp. It wasn't enough to, like, an emergency to go see what happens, but it was enough to, like, just annoy you, like, oh, I'll get around to it, right? And so I treated that warning like an inconvenience instead of an invitation to change the batteries and protect myself and protect my family or my property, things like that. And so there is this invitation that Moses has in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush. He has an encounter with God, and he goes over to this bush because it's not burning up. The bush isn't burning up. He's a shepherd. He's seen everything in the desert at this point. And then he says, I'm going to go over and see what that looks like. That is a step of faith and obedience to see what God was calling. Then, once he does that step of faith, there's a vision that God, there's this vision. I'm going to go see what this burning bush is about. And then there's a calling that God places on Moses' life, that he wants to use him for a greater thing, more than just tending sheep, that he wants to lead his people out of suffering in Egypt. Moses does what? He begins to make excuses. I can't do this. Can you send somebody else? I can't speak. And God provides all the answers, and God assures him that he's with him. And then all he required was what? Was obedience. He required obedience for Moses to step into that vision and to that calling. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to build on that. Think about the vision that we have. Obedience is simply saying, it's vision in motion. Here I go. I'm going to walk out there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the things that God is calling me to. And I kind of get this progression. Moses says, I must see this thing. He goes over to the burning bush. That's our vision. Then we see, here am I. God is calling you. What is God calling you to do with your life? Maybe here in this church. God wants you to do something. If you have breath in your lungs and you have a belly button, God's calling you, right? You have a purpose. You have a plan. God wants you to do something. He doesn't want you to just sit back in the stands. He wants you to participate. That's what gives us purpose. And then finally, he says, here I go. Will you be obedient That's what we're looking for. Vision is just ideas and words if there's not obedience followed by it. We need you to, as a church, to step into what God is calling you to. And that vision is what we're going to. And so as I think about this, because of obedience, we talked about this, is that obedience is that prayer from someone else that's been on your life for the longest time. And then when you finally hear that, you're stepping into it. I think about my mom, who prayed for me for many years not to be a knucklehead. And then all of a sudden, here I am, and it's a pastor 30 years later, right, in ministry. But here's the thing, it takes obedience. I want you to hear that. That there's a burning bush moment for each one of us. And then God has put us in this sanctuary for today. And maybe, just maybe, he's calling you to be obedient and find a place to serve. And how can you make an impact here, make a dent where you're sent? What can you do now? And so here's what we're going to look at. I want to look at a kind of a vision for Brighton Heights as we move forward. The first thing is that we had kids up in the front here in these first two rows. Number one thing is this, is as Bridge City Church moves forward in Brighton Heights and we continue to grow, we have to be about families. We have to focus on the family units and what families need. There's so many families that are struggling out there that need the hope of Jesus Christ. There's single moms out there. There's single dads out there. There's kids trying to figure out who they are. And so this great outpost of heaven called Brighton Heights, here we go. This is what we need to be about. A vibrant Bridge City Kids ministry and BC students. We need to be about that. We need to be people that truly care and model and teach our kids as they're growing up. The vision for this is for the foundations for families to build on. As people come here and people that are already here, that they're going to see, okay, I'm going to be able to build on what my kids are being taught down in their lower level. We have an amazing team led by Katrina Jackson. Like, we have an amazing team. It's great. But here's the thing. God is calling, as he called Katrina and Jared, kind of to step up and step in to do that. And we have other leaders that serve a couple times a month. We're short of people downstairs who need, like, just imagine praying and laughing and teaching little ones about Jesus. It's not supposed to be a punishment. It's not. And your mom, some of the moms are like, oh, yeah, whatever. So, but it's meant to be a joy. It's meant to be a joy to tell the kids about who Jesus is. And so when we're obedient, we're stepping into that. And so I'm asking you to prayerfully consider. I'm inviting you to step into that calling, to be part of that as we cast forward a vision that we need to be about families. We need others to step up and be part of our BC Kids, our vibrant BC Kids. Imagine what that would look like. And that would look amazing if you step in and figure out a way that you can use your gifts and abilities that only God created you to do and use. Amen? What I want to do is I think about obedience. What does it look like, obedience, for us here at this location? You know, Aaron and Kara Dovey, when I first started here, they said, hey, on Halloween, I know a lot of people are going to be freaked out by it. We're like, we're going to be a light in the community, and we're going to pass out candy. And each year, Aaron, I believe it's grown, hasn't it? Last Halloween outreach, there were 1,300 kids, families, that came through the front of the church. And when we did this past year, God put on my heart and was like, it's time to get busy in this community on the north side and invest in families and kids. There are so many families out there in and around the block of this. And kind of like if you drew a circle, like a dartboard around this location and it went out, we can make more of a difference in this community. Not just for Halloween, right? We don't want to be the cool church that passes out the full candy bars, which we do. Amen. But we want to be the church that's helping kids build their lives on the foundation that's Jesus Christ. We want to help kids have a burning bush experience with Jesus Christ. You know, with God and move with the Holy Spirit and step with him. And so here's what I was hoping, praying for. Just, God, give me a vision. What do we do next? How do we build on our amazing, vibrant kids ministry? And what he gave me was this, that I believe in the summertime, that as we've done Pitt mission trip before, that he wants us to do a vacation Bible school for this community. And that's not going to just take the same four or five people that lead our kids ministry. It's going to take all of us. Will you be obedient and step forward in that? It's going to be sometime in June. We're trying to figure that out. We're having a meeting this week. But just think about what a cool VBS would look like for families and how many families could be reached. You know, being in ministry for so long, one of the great things that Vacation Bible School does, it teaches our little ones, but it also brings mom and dad who might be going through a rough time right now. And then the little ones praying for mom and dad become Christians. Mom and dad get their stuff together. That's what a vision takes. Like, we need that. And so Vacation Bible School was one of those things. We're also going to do extravaganza again. We're going to do an extravaganza event, which is like an Easter egg hunt type thing. But we're moving toward that as a way also to bring kids in. We do that with excellence here. But again, we're building on those things that God is calling us to have a vibrant kids ministry. Let me read this verse to you. Children, Psalm 127:3 says this. Children are a gift from the Lord. Do you believe that? Yes. Children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward from him. And so, you know, my goodness, what a better way to say, God, is this where you're calling me to step up and step in and help serve a BC kids? So there's a place for you to do that, amen, if you would just follow through. And so here's the next one, BC students. So we have kids, and then we have our student ministry, which is a meeting on Wednesday nights. Right now, there's a critical mass of about 8 to 10 on a good night, but there could be more. We're trying to get more kids into the building to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our leaders of that are Cherise Tillman and Jake and Kaylee Schwenfeger. They're doing an amazing job, and I'm so thankful for them stepping up. The first 17 years of my calling were spent in student ministry. And here's why. George Barna from the Barna Group says this, 80% of people become Christians before the age of 18. So what a vibrant harvest field that students and kids are. Why don't we see it like that? So if people are becoming Christians before the age of 18, we need to spend resources and time there investing and telling kids about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's going to take an investment. It's going to take some time to come out on a Wednesday night, and it's going to cost you some time to encounter kids. Can you deal with the Axe body spray? Can you deal with that smell? Because that's part of it. The snacks on snacks on snacks, and it's just so much, right? But part of that is just stepping up and stepping in and saying, I'm going to make an impact on the life of a student. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes by hearing. It is this, hearing the good news about Christ. And so kids, students, teenagers right now, they're going through a tough time. I can't imagine being a kid right now. I thought it was tough when I was growing up. With all the social media, with all the different platforms, AI, all this other stuff, they're just driving for kids' attention, right? What a better place for kids to know who they are than coming to the church and understanding who God created them to be. But it takes someone with a passion and a calling to say, I'm going to invest in the life of a young lady or a young man, and I'm going to mentor them. I'm going to model for them what it means, and I'm going to disciple them. And I'm going to come alongside Jake and Kaylee and Cherise and be part of that leadership team. Will you be obedient in that? Maybe God's calling you to that particular ministry. The second thing I believe God is calling us to, and as the core team that meets on a regular basis, I've had Wayne Neuf actually talk about what it means to be a kind of a generous invitation culture. And he worked for Panera Bread, and he talked about what that looked like and greeting people as they come in. You don't do it in like my pleasure, like Chick-fil-A says, but you're doing it with an authenticity, right? You're doing it with an authenticity and welcoming them for who they are. But the two different areas that I'm looking at that I want us to think about is generous giving. And here's the thing, the church has a public relations black eye when it comes to giving and money, doesn't it? And so I want to encourage you this, and I want to just tell you this, is that that's not what we're about here. We're not about padding pockets, and I can tell you as a pastor for 30 years, it's not going to us. Some of it's going to us to pay for our living costs. It's going to take care of the lights and make sure that the heat you're feeling and the nice cushioned seats you're sitting on, it goes to pay for that kind of stuff. But we're looking for tithing to come in to God's storehouse, his church, so we can do the ministry for those things, for students, for kids, for missions, like Pastor Gary is doing, right? So that's where we're looking for, a generous giving culture. And you're probably like, you talk about money all the time, because it matters. It was a topic that Jesus talked about all the time. And so it does matter, because where our treasure is, so our heart is too. And so I believe this is that we're praying for people to have an understanding that it takes courageous faith and an understanding of the importance of giving generously and joyfully to God. And we do this because of all he's done for us. You don't do it because I'm asking you to, or Doug's asking you. You do it because it's an act of worship unto the Lord. And so all that goes to help us. Here's the thing. We every year, there's like a kind of a shortfall where we're at Brighton Heights. And I believe this, is that if everybody, we have enough people in the room here that if everybody gave their tithe and their 10%, a true tithe, we would be in the black. We would be in the black, no problem. We'd be able to do all the ministries that we've called to and then some. Because here's the thing, if we're not giving, you know, God is, we do that as an act of worship. We do that as a way that he's going to bless us. And so we're called to give generously and joyfully. When you give, you can know that you're giving to a ministry, into ministry areas that are going to use that ministry money for the right things. And you don't have to ever count, like, question that. That Bridge City Church does an amazing job. We have an amazing financial team. We have amazing leaders that cast vision for what we want to do. But here's the thing. We need people to understand that you're called to do that here at the local level. We're called here at Brighton Heights campus to give. And I just want to encourage you, if you're not truly giving and tithing and you're doing that generously and joyfully, like I'm calling you to step up and step in. I'm inviting you to give. Mel and I give. We give joyfully and generously. I want to invite you to do the same. Watch what God will do in your life when you do that. There's beautiful things that will happen. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, you must each decide in his own heart, each your heart, how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. Say reluctantly. Thank you. Or in response to pressure. Say pressure. There's no pressure here. We're not passing out tickets to the guilt trip, right? For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Say cheerfully.
Cheerfully.
Cheerfully. Give cheerfully. So that's what we're called to do, is give cheerfully to that. So here's the thing. In this sanctuary right now, if everybody gave 10%, we'd have enough money to do all that we need to do and go outside of these walls and make a difference on the north side of Pittsburgh and then go globally and make a difference across overseas. Amen? And so here's what I'm asking you to do. Consider this. Consider examining your hearts, examine your budget to say, how can I give more joyfully, generously? And watch what God will do. Pastor Keith is coming. He's our founding pastor of Bridge City Church. He's coming as a makeup date on in a couple weeks from now, Sunday, March 8th. He'll be here for the worship service to preach. But later that night, there's a workshop I'm inviting you to come and be part of. Sign up. You're going to hear more from Doug and Jake later. But it's a workshop for us to examine our hearts, to figure out where our foundation is, and he's going to help us get better at giving joyfully and generously. So I invite you to be part of that and to sign up, amen? So that obedience, the obedience is what we're called to. The obedience is where it really comes down to. The obedience is where we have some fear. We're fearful. Will I have enough for bills? Will I have enough for this? Will I have enough for vacation? Look, examine your hearts, examine your budget, and watch what God will do. He's going to bless you. The invitation culture, it's amazing. One of the things I hear constantly from some of our visitors that come, they go, Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights is an incredibly welcoming church. Have you ever heard that? And when I see a new person jump in, they swarm. They swarm the church. They swarm and they come in here. And so there's this obedience that we're called to, is to be an invitation culture. When we see visitors come, we're called to welcome them. We're called to welcome them with all that we have. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says this. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect or give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so, you know, what would it look like for us to truly kind of lean into that being an invitation culture? One of the things I'm hoping to do more of in the future is to have like this food and fellowship time back in our cafe. Like maybe once every so many months or a quarter or whatever it looks like. But we had one last week and it was electric. It was amazing. It was fun. It was a sign of a growing church. And I love that. And so we're going to do that, have intentional ways to do that. Another intentional way for you to be an inviting culture is connection groups, small groups, as we call them here. There are QR codes all around. Get involved. There's still time to be part of that. That's one way you can be an inviting culture. For someone to feel loved at a church, they need to have 6 points of contact, right? The Barna Group will say that. What that means is this. It's not just like a touch like that, but it's a conversation. It's a welcome. It's a hug. it's a pound, you know, like whatever that may be. But it's this interaction of generosity and authenticity that the people are looking for. We don't do it to be creepy. We do it to be Christ-like. Amen? You with me? All right. Here's the other thing. There's an urgency. There's an urgency of now. We're not looking down the road to get going, and once we get all these things lined up, there's an urgency of right now. Say urgency. Urgency. Urgency of now. There's an urgency of now here at this campus. There's an urgency of now. There's a harvest now. There's a harvest of people within this church. We have kids and students. We have people within our community. There's a harvest now, and we need people to be obedient, to step up into this calling that we're called to. And so as we function as one body with many parts, we all have different gifts and abilities that we can use, but we're one body with many parts. If you need an example of that, think of the Mr. Potato Head when you were a kid. One body, many parts. When there was Snowmageddon happened here, there's a picture, Joel, if you could put that up, of the snow crew that came out this is one crew. There was a group of three that came out earlier in the week with snow plows and shovels to clear off places for people to park and in the community. That's what the church looks like. That's what the church looks like when it's obedient. When they feel the call that God has placed on their life, they're doing it. They're serving one another. They're serving God. They're serving the community. And I love that. It was a great thing. And so what I'm asking you to do is just think about ways. How can you step up into this church, this calling that God has placed? Where is he placing you? You might ask the question, where is God calling me? I don't know where to go. I'm glad you asked. The production team. Joel Paladin is up in the balcony there. He's way up there. He is up there every single week. He gets relieved from Joe Carney week in and week out. Guess what Joel needs help with? Production team. So if God is giving you kind of a creative ability, my guy needs a break. He needs to be down here with his family. And so I'm asking you to step up and step in. So production is what we do with the slides and Kara and Derek up there with sound. We need people that have that kind of gift, and I can at least do that. I can use that ability and help that. So production is one way for you to do that. Hospitality team, that's what we have. It kind of puts out water and puts out stuff in our cafe with Cricket and Donna. They do a great team putting that together. If you want to be part of that, maybe you have that gift of hospitality. Guess what? There's a place for you to do that. Ushers right now, that's one of our greatest needs. James Jackson back there in the corner. James, raise your hand. He's in the corner. James is our head guy. James loves this church. James loves the Lord, and he would like to build his team. Ushering, greeting people, helping people pray, it's a great job. It's a great calling. It's a great purpose. And so we're looking for people now, not somewhere down the road. Now, there's an urgency now. James needs help. James is scrambling today to fill spots. And I don't want him to do that. I want him to have a team to build on week in and week out. And so the ushers do an amazing job. So thank you to that team. Our welcome team and connection point with Doug and Leanne Shear, you guys do an amazing job. And as you come in, people are handing those packets to our visitors. We're being generous, and that's the invitation culture. Leanne is back there at the connection point, right? If you have any questions about how you can get signed up, she's willing to answer. Doug also triples as an elder for the church and an MC. But that's one way. If you have kind of like, you're not, even if you're introverted, you could still do this. But if you're extroverted, that's another wheelhouse place for you, right? Amen. Our prayer team, do you know that we have a prayer team that was up here praying, but we also have a prayer team on Sunday mornings that gathers, and they lift up our church, they lift up our leadership, they lift up the concerns. And if God has given you that and like a spirit moving on you, like maybe you could be part of our prayer team. So Tom, Michelle, Rachel, they're back there. If you have questions about that prayer team, they would love to talk to you more about that. I talked about BC kids and BC students. I can't emphasize it enough. That is one way for you to get plugged in. I know I'm going long, but hang in there with me. Connection groups. Maybe God has given you the ability to facilitate and lead group studies or Bible studies, ask good questions, or just to be someone that's hospitable and fun. We're looking for people to be leaders and coaches. Coaches are someone that kind of oversee different groups. Apprentices, where's Matt Dovey? There he is right there. Matt Dovey's my apprentice this semester for our men's group. It means he's just shadowing me so eventually he can lead his own group. And so if you want, maybe that's where God is calling you to, is connection groups or small groups. There's a place where you can come talk to me. Missions. Right now, Pastor Gary is in Pakistan. Pastor Gary Palin has been the longstanding pastor here. I kind of came after him. But we have a heart for missions, both locally and globally. And so maybe missions is some place you can connect with. Maybe God is calling you overseas, or maybe there's something here that you can be called to. Food pantry. Where's Joe? There he is back there. We have a food pantry that meets on the third Saturday of the month that we distribute about 30 to 45 food packages to families in the Northside area. And so maybe, you know, we could use help there that you could step up and do. It's once a month for a few hours. You know, that's one way that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus in the urgency of right now. BC 101, Chris and Wayne Neuf. There's Wayne over there, there's Chris there. They have been, their gifts are hospitality, but they're also about getting people connected and using their abilities. And you want to be part of their team, I'm sure they would love to talk to you about that. He's shaking his head, yes. I love that. And so how about this one? Maybe, just maybe, there's a ministry that doesn't even exist yet, that's not here, that God has called you for such a time as this. That he wants you to step up and step in and say, I'm going to be, Pastor Ben, I want to talk to you. And say, what do you think about this? You know, that's what we're praying for. We're trying to figure out ways we can make an impact here in this church and in this community. And I'm going to invite you to stand right now. I'm going to invite you to stand. And I'm going to invite Doug and any of the core team that are here right now, any of the core team that are right here, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Any of the point people of, come forward, just stand right here. Any of the point people of any type of team, I'm going to invite you to come forward now at this time. You can play because you're the worship leader. Seriously, come forward. So Jesus is not asking Bridge City Church what we're capable of. Jesus is asking, will you build on me? Will you build on me? These are our leaders. I want to show you this. Look at this. Come on up, Mel, Jake, Kara. Any other leaders in the house that are out there, come forward. God is calling us as a church to a vision to make an impact for families and for the north side, for his glory, for his honor. In Matthew 28, it says, go into this world, it's his great commission. It doesn't say idly back and let's judge the pastor if he's a good pastor or preacher or not, because I am. And we have an amazing worship leader. He's amazing. But here's what we're called to. Here's what we're called to. We're called to serve and get into God's mission, to be on mission. And we're inviting you to stand with us. We're inviting you to stand with each of these leaders who give of themselves. They don't do it because of me. They do it because of God. They do it because of one another. And they do it because they want to make a difference. And I'm inviting you, as Aaron plays, I don't know if you could play just one song for us. Just lead us. I'm going to invite you to come forward and just stand with us. Just right now, if God is just saying, hey, I'm moving on your heart right now, or he's tugging on your heart and saying, I want to step up. I want to be part of where we're going here at Brighton Heights. Come and stand beside each one of these leaders. Come forward. Get out of your seat. Just come forward. I'm challenging you to be part of that. Don't sit idly back. We're on mission. We're on point. We're going to make a dent where we're sent. There's big things that are going to happen here. And we need you. We need you, church, to step up and step in, to have faith. Would you join us? Would you come forward and join us? Would you pray with us? So I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to pray right now. And thank you for those that came forward. And maybe God's tugging on your heart and you're kind of feeling this out. You're sifting through things. I get that. I get it. But I want to encourage you, don't sit idly back. Get involved. Figure out ways to make a difference. Make an impact in the life of a kid or a student or a stranger in the north side around our community in this neighborhood. Figure out ways to do that. So I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I'm just excited to be part of your church. Thank you for calling Mel and I here to Brighton Heights. I thank you for each one of these leaders. I thank you for how they're standing right now. They're purposing in their heart that they're going to make a difference right where they're sent. And Father, would you just move on us with your Holy Spirit, that we would align ourselves, that we would anchor ourselves in Christ, that we'd have burning bush encounters, that we'd have a holy discontent, that we're not going to just idly back, but we're going to step into the calling you've placed on each one of us. Father, I just pray that you bless each one. I pray for those that are standing out there. It doesn't mean they're not with us. I get that, Lord. But I just pray a blessing upon each family that's here. Lord, that you'd figure out what just having an encounter with them, that you'd soften their hearts, that you give them eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, in ways they can get involved and be part. And so, Father, I just thank you and praise you in this place. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Ben, for such a great message. And as everyone makes their way.